Ministries and to our soon to be listening in Blog Talk Radio people later on this afternoon. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. You know, we don't like the other stuff that's out there, but we accept it. It is February. It's according to our sign, February church is
Black History Month.
So we take this time also to celebrate our heritage, our life, our origins. Because when God redeemed us, he didn't just redeem our souls from hell. He redeemed our ethnic identity as well. He redeemed us because he created us the way we are. So we praise him and thank him this morning as you're standing to your feet. He said, we got this, we're going to do a mixture. We're going to do some traditional, what they were singing in the black church, traditional hymns this month, as well as songs that were done by people who look like us. Were written by people. So we'll know that we have a big part in this. I'm trying to get my brain working with my fingers. What he deserves, our adoration, our praise. Our responsive reading for this month is found in Psalm chapter 90, the New Living Translation, and it reads as follows: Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God.
You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, mortal. For you, a thousand years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that then disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered.
We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80.
But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Some may disappear and we cry well. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Yeah.
O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Together, let us, your servants, see you at work again. Let our children see your glory, and may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We know it's only because of Jesus that your presence can even be with us, because you are truly holy. Right now, Lord, we're just setting apart this time to come together as family, as your people, to worship you, to adore you, to pour out our affection on you. Let us today worship you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all our being, Lord. Let us see you. Lord, we pray for the word this morning. We pray that you pour out from heaven as you already poured into your servant. We're here to hear from you as you speak through him. So give him the words. Give him the sense of urgency needed for your people in this hour. Again, we just thank you, as only we can do with our lips and with our actions. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing that the one true living God can be with us. He is holy, holy like no other. But yet, he's in each one of us. You are holy, oh so holy. You are holy, oh so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are worthy, oh so worthy. You are worthy, oh so worthy. What a privilege and an honor to worship you. Heaven's high, I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one. I can search the heavens high, I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one. I can search the heavens high, I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one, no one so holy, no one so worthy, no one so faithful. There is no one, no one, no one so holy, no one so worthy, no one so faithful. Search the heavens high, I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one. No one. No one. Who's done for us what Jesus has done for us? The cross. That's where it all happened for us.
Of my
sin anymore. Aren't you happy somebody else paid the cost for you?
Yes, Lord.
At the cross. It is time for us to come together and share our family meal, also known as communion. I'm going to ask the praise team if y'all would go ahead and take a seat for a second. As a matter of fact, everybody, have a seat. I want to transport you back to, I want you to get your mind to go back. Because sometimes when we do this, I think we miss some little elements of it that we could pick up. Many of us are familiar with the Old Testament story of Abraham. When God called him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, and they climbed up Mount Moriah together, and then they reached a certain spot, and it was just Abraham and Isaac alone, and these words were said. I need to pick that up in a minute. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am." "My son," he said, "behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on his son that his son had carried, and laid his son on the altar. Isaac carried the wood, not knowing that he was the sacrifice. But because God provided the sacrifice, we know that when Abraham was ready to fulfill what God had told him to do, God told him to stop, and he looked over and he saw a ram in the thicket. He saw a ram caught in the thorns. And God provided for himself a sacrifice there. And that passage, that chapter goes on to say that God told Abraham, "Through you, the world will be blessed through your seed."
Amen.
So jettison generations into the future at another mountain called Calvary, where the Son, the only Son, bore the wood on his shoulders, knowing full well he would be the sacrifice, wearing a crown of thorns. If you were in that day and you were a Jewish person standing there and seeing Jesus with that wood on his back of the cross and that crown of thorns on his head, you would have remembered Isaac and Abraham. And you would have understood that this was the fulfillment of the scripture, that this was the seed through which the whole world would be blessed. So as you take your bread in your hand, remember that he bore in his body our sins. Take and eat. And that perfect sacrifice who shed his blood for the remission of our sins is Jesus. Take and drink. Remember. All God's people say,
amen.
Amen. remembering that this is February's Black History Month, I decided to share with you all, this has been these last couple years, there's been a plethora of information given for us. See, one of the reasons people are running around banning books and saying all this crazy stuff about CRT, they don't even know what critical race theory is, so they just saying, don't say anything, make people feel bad. They doing that because we're ignorant. We don't even know our real histories. And one question that continuously comes up that says, is Christianity a white man's religion? So I'm gonna help some of y'all in your conversations. The impact of the early African American church on Christianity today. The Bible is a treasure trove of black history. From the book of Genesis, which associates the Garden of Eden with the Nile River and Ethiopia, to the book of Acts, which reveals African men being present on the day of Pentecost. True biblical Christianity is not the white man's religion, the black man's religion, or any man's religion. It is God's way of salvation for all mankind. It is God's work, period. For it to be presented as a religion of any single race, for it to be whitewashed is idolatry. These are the words some of you know, former ESPN host Chris Broussard, brother in Christ, founder and president of the King Movement. He wrote these words in the foreword to the book, The Whitewashing of Christianity, by Jamar Tisby. I'll remember his name in a minute. So let me start this month by giving you the names of some people who had the same origins as us. Simon of Cyrene and other Cyrenians. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, found in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. The author of the book Mark, John Mark, was the son of Aristobulus and Mary. He was a Cyrenian Jew. Mark mentions Alexander and Rufus because they were well known in the early church. Rufus and his mother were greeted by Paul in his letter to the church at Rome, found in Romans 16, 13. Paul even said that Rufus's mother was like a mother to him. Africans were essential to the gospel spreading throughout the continent. So how did Christianity become so prominent in North Africa? After the siege of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, the Egyptian city of Alexandria became a significant center of development for Christianity. Alexandria was the home of the Hexapla, a compilation of six translations, languages, of the Hebrew Old Testament scripture. Y'all know Egypt was known for its libraries. And the school of Alexandria was founded in late second century by Clement of Alexandria as a center of study of literary and allegorical symbolic interpretation of the Bible. Yep. So what was I saying? Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is modern day Libya. Libya is not in southern Europe. It is on the continent of Africa. That meant that Simon of Cyrene, Rufus, Alexander, one of John Mark's parents, and a whole lot of other people looked just like us. So this month, I'm going to introduce you to some people who you're familiar with their names in church history, but you just might not know if they're from Africa, they look like us. And our history has been presented to us that they don't. God is looking to fix some things. I said in the beginning, he did not just redeem our souls from hell. He redeemed our identities. Because he made us that way. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
You should be glad about it. You're not worshiping some other man's religion. Stand to your feet. You worshiping the one who brought victory. All victory.
Yes, Lord.
He redeemed everything for us. He redeemed us. Parents, the school system's not going to teach your kids this. And if you're in the wrong districts, they're not even going to teach your kids. You have to do this. And if you're a believer in Christ, you are obligated to teach the truth. And it's found right there in the Word. Victory belongs to one person. Who is it? And it's proof, because even right now, we still have victory.
Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, oh, oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
That He runs, He's won the victory. What do you say? Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise Him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Morning.
Morning.
I was hoping that it was at least two more songs in the, on the mixtape, but apparently not. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the energy, the strength, the love, the care that You provided today to get us here. Lord, we thank You for constantly filling us up with Your power and Your love by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead inside of us. Help us to adhere to Your word today and each and every day. And help us, Lord, to be who we're called to be, who You designed us to be. We say thank You. Move me out of the way, Lord. I struggled with this word because I didn't want to do it, but You confirmed it, and it has to go forth. I will be obedient in that, Lord, and I pray that You fashion the word for the audience that's here today and those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio. We say thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to pray that the Wi-Fi ministry is functional this morning, and it is so far. You know how I get. You just keep saying amen till your verse pop back up. Proverbs chapter 11. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. I realized as you get older, your bathroom runs in the middle of the night become more frequent. And I was reading the Lord's word, and He said verses 1 through 5, and I'm like, you know, that don't sound like nothing I want to talk about right now. He was like 1 through 5. And I was like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So that's where we're at today, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. It said, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but He delights in accurate weights. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Riches won't help you on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. The godly are directed by honesty. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin." Help, Lord. Now you get the idea why I didn't particularly want to deal with this. But it's not about me. It's about the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 says, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Let's be clear. God hates sin. Detest is basically extreme displeasure, disgust. So dishonest scales, you can look at it as, in today's form, as people cheating others, because that's roughly what this is talking about. Back then, you know, in the marketplaces, they had to have accurate scales, because let's say if I was coming to buy a pound of goat meat, it needed to be an accurate pound as far as a measurement in the scales, so that you couldn't overcharge me or cheat me. We live in a society today where dishonesty and cheating is normal. We live in a society today where dishonesty and cheating is normal. Dishonesty, sin in general, disgusts God. So we talked about in teacher training class about some of the symptoms of a sin-sick world. And we were talking specifically about homosexuality. People get caught up and God hates homosexuality. God hates homosexuals. God hates sin. You can't cure the problem if all you focus on is symptoms. The symptoms should lead you to understand that something's wrong. Not that God just hates one particular sin, he hates all sin. So that's one thing I don't really care for in terms of preaching, is the transparency that comes with it. When people say they want to do this, I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, because it's a lot that comes behind it. It's not the attention. It's not the money. It's everything else that comes with that. So sometimes we as God's children, we fool ourselves because we don't read the word. And we focus on symptoms or things that we don't like. And then we try to buddy up with the Lord, like, well, I don't like it. I know he don't like it. Oh, God hates sin. So you can judge the homosexual over here, but not deal with your lying. Not deal with your cheating. Not deal with your mouth. When you want to get certain folks told, I work in corrections. I understand colorful language. I do. And the Lord is like, hey, dude, you can't be going hard like you do. So he has to check me, because we've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the reality. But don't be fooled that, you know, my cheating and my fornication is okay. Don't be fooled that, oh, the homosexuals, they're all evil. Don't be fooled by that. When the Lord told you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and you bought $2 but you made 50, so you were supposed to bring 5. God is very direct and very black and white when it comes to sin. It grieves God. Now, some of us have, some of us will deal with grief. Some of us are dealing with grief. Consider that for a second. Consider what you feel when mama left, when your brother left. And before I get too far, I'm asking prayers for the A.G. Bradley family. When I left here last week, I saw my man standing outside talking to the police. His brother, he found his brother in his apartment, gone. So I'm asking for prayers for their family. I'm asking for prayer for Mackie and his family, his grandma, went on home to be with the Lord. So there are people, as we continue to pray for Crystal, as we continue to pray for Carmen and Sharon. Yeah, I call Sharon. I ain't gonna be fake about it. It is what it is. It's an apostrophe. I'm sorry, hyphen English teachers. So it's Sharon. But some of us are dealing with that. So imagine how God feels knowing everything about you and everything that he's laid out for you and sacrificed and put together for you. Even the snow and the ice and the cold, they have purpose. So the Lord is continuously looking out for you. But we constantly choose sin over him. And it breaks his heart. It grieves God. So if we know better, we truly need to do better. I'm reading the Bible on my phone. We got all the technology and everything that we need to touch base with the Lord. But he don't just think that this little white lie. Don't just think that, well, you know, I only kicked it with an old girl for a little bit. I did leave her alone. Don't be fooled. It brings God disgust. He hates sin. And guess what? If we are his children, we should too after a while. I don't know about you, but two friend of the court cases was enough for me. You pay a house note. And that don't include birthdays and Christmases and, hey, Dad, I saw these. Can I get that? We have to get tired of sin. We have to look at things the way the Lord looks at them. That's why when Pastor O gets up here and said, let my thoughts be like your thoughts, let my ways be like yours, he ain't just make that up. That's word. We need to align our lives and ourselves with what the word says about any and everything. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Wi-Fi ministry still going. Verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So pride is, I'm all that. What I say goes. I'm the chief rocker. I'm the master. So that leads to disgrace. That ultimately leads to downfall. That leads to stress. It leads to punishment. It leads to embarrassment. I don't know about you, but none of those things are good for me. No. But with humility comes wisdom. John ain't all that. John mess up waking up. That's a fact. I am like the character in life, can't get right. And at least can't get right, but smart enough not to talk. But humility, with humility comes wisdom. As I was driving in today, the Lord said, be quiet. Let's cut the radio down. Cut it off, actually. And understand that humility is not just John getting on his knees to pray to the Lord. It's an adoption of a lifestyle. I need all the wisdom I can get from the Lord. So it's sometimes when I first moved into my place, I fell to my knees and I said, thank you, Lord. Because he prepared me, but I listened. And I humbled myself. Because sometimes when you think you make a few dollars, you know, you pump yourself up with pride and ego. And the Lord was like, no, I run the show. Everything you have is because of me. Everything that you are is because of me, not you. The Lord deserves all the praise and the glory. Not any of us in this place. Not any of us listening on this broadcast. Because that's what happened with Satan. Well, he was Lucifer then, the son of the morning. That pride pumped up. Wait a minute, I'm better than him. I want what he get, that worship, that praise. You don't deserve it. And as we saw when that proverbial moot came out, and a third of the angels that believed that foolishness, and guess who's still God? So you learn, you obtain wisdom when you first understand that it ain't about you. Because that's what pride will tell you. It's all about you. You run this. You're the number one. No, I'm not. I'm way down that totem pole. Because I know I'm at least three spots down, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing, and I will say this, I stand on the shoulders of a God-fearing, Bible-based family. And their ancestors and ancestors and ancestors and ancestors. So John is way down because we got it easy. You know, I was able to watch, and I thank Janice for telling me. A lot of times I pick Janice for resources because that's my library, physically and spiritually. But I watched Women of the Movement about Mamie Till Mobley and Emmett Till. And I realized that I was watching it, and I realized that my life ain't a fraction of that difficulty. I can say pretty much what I want to say without being lynched. I can whistle at whoever without fear of my life being taken from me. So I understand that it ain't about me. It's a lot of people that made a lot of sacrifices for John to be able to stand up publicly and witness about my elder brother and my father and my wonderful counselor. So I don't care about pride, because the reality is we all crazy as each other. Some of us a little worse than others. And if you really knew me, you'd be like, this dude is different. So, verse 3 says, honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Honesty guides good people. What do we know to be the truth? Because that's what you're doing when you engage in honesty. You live in, you speak in, you walk in truth. We know God's word to be the truth. What God says about any and everything is the truth. Not what Amir says is the truth. Because we taint stuff, and I'm not picking on you. Don't be sensitive enough, but I'm not picking on you. I'm just looking at you because your name popped up. But the reality is we trade the truth for lies all day, every day. Because we put our spin on it. We were talking about in teacher training eisegesis. That's you putting your spin on it. Not exegesis, which is, hey, Lord, this is what your word says, and I'm putting out what your word says. But when you put your spin on it, you taint it. So you would start to engage in dishonesty. But it says honesty guides good people.
Yes.
Who's good? The Lord.
Yes.
Who do we belong to? The Lord.
Yes.
So guess what? His presence in us makes us good people. So honesty should direct us. And sometimes it is painful for folks to hear the truth. Sometimes it's painful for us to even speak it. Because we consider folks' feelings sometimes. But you know what I've learned? It's so much better to be a truth teller than a liar. Satan is not my father. Father lies. He's not my father. If I'm reflecting who my father is, I'm engaging in honesty. But it says dishonesty destroys treacherous people. What happens with lies? You have to keep them going so that they don't find out the truth. And before, like, it used to be a commercial when I was growing up. They said, if you tell one lie, you will tell another, and another, and another. We can't lie to ourselves. But we do. And we practice it. But it says, in God's word, dishonesty destroys treacherous people. See, when we choose sin, we hop in that fence. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we are going to glory for those of us who are saved. But you engage in sin. So you latch on to dishonesty because, yeah, baby girl, you know I love you. You know good and well before it came out of your mouth, you knew that was a lie. And what comes behind that? Broken promises, heartache, pain. What, Crystal said slashed tires, windows busted. I'm going to tell you this. It's so much simpler than gauging the truth. I was sitting in my aunt's basement going through a divorce, and the Lord said, hey, let me ask you a question. Who's the common denominator in all of your failed relationships? Just like that. See, one beautiful thing about as you draw closer to the Lord and you read his word and you relate with him, you hear him clearly. You don't get it twisted. You know exactly who. When your mama say, get your butt on this porch, you know her voice. I know my father's voice. And I said, you know what? I'm the common denominator of all of my failed relationships. And you know where most of it stemmed from? Dishonesty. Lying to me and them. The truth is what it is. It's what God says about a thing and everything. So you pump that out because honesty should guide us as good people. If we have the good father and a good brother and a wonderful counselor, we are good people. Satan does not run your life. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 4 says, riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. Can money solve some of your problems? Yeah. Can money pay your bills and help you sleep a little bit better at night? Yeah. But it won't be in the way when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ for those of us who are saved. For those of us who are not saved, the great white throne judgment, which is basically like your line to hell. See, I might get a half a piece of crown and you know, a ruby here and there, but I'm going to glory. I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. Money won't be in between John and the Bema Seat of Christ. Money won't be in between those of us who are unsaved in the great white throne judgment. So that's why it simply says riches won't help you on the day of judgment. But see, the world, which is extremely dishonest, which is extremely treacherous, will tell you money will solve all of your problems. There have been times in my life where I had a lot and I had a little money. And you know what I realized? It don't solve my problems. Sometimes money creates problems. Because if I can run to the mall and tear it up, that's a problem. Or I could buy 20 chicken wings instead of 2. That's a problem. Because fried food don't sit the same way in this 44-year-old stomach. I know. However, it can't save me on the day of judgment. We all have to face judgment. And it's one or the other. John is going to be in the reward line. This is what you did do, this is what you didn't do. All right, Lord, yes, yes. Yep. I'm cool now? All right, bet. I won't be in that line sweating like, dang, was it 3 of me one day? I won't be in that line sweating. I'll be like, thank you for dying for me, Lord, and rising from the grave. But I chose the Lord at the age of 10. So I have that confidence. But I do understand and I know that no matter how much money I generate from a book sale, from working for the state, or for hustling, or being an itinerant preacher, the reality is that it won't save you or me on the day of judgment. However, see, that's the beautiful thing about Proverbs, because I read, because I do read, that Proverbs basically is a book that tells you, you do this, you get this. You do that, you get that. You choose life, you get reward. You choose death, you get consequences. You get punishment and everything that comes with it. That's Proverbs in a nutshell. Yeah. However, but right living can save you from death. Whew. I can't count how many times the Lord saved me just in the past few weeks. From crazy drivers, crazy women, crazy situations. Seriously. And when I think back, he's done that consistently. I mean, he won't stop. He can't stop. And I'm so grateful for that. He's literally saved my life. And, you know, I can tell you a big one. Because I drive a lot. Doing the speed limit on the road. So many people fly by me and I'm doing 55. I'm on cruise control. And there have been times people cut me off. One time a guy was on the shoulder on Southfield Freeway and just pulled out with no blinker. In front of me. But if you're doing the speed limit, obeying the laws of the land, I was able to, actually, I wasn't even driving. I was instructing my son. Stop, 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 stop. And he listened. He was in order. We was in order. So the Lord provided a way of protection. Because you know what happens when you step from up under that protection? When you're going 90 in the 70. You get what's coming to you. But Amen. Amen. But right living can save you from death. Something as simple as following the speed limit. Very well saved me and my son's life. Something as simple as the Lord say, do not call her. What is right living? If we already established that the Lord is good. So if we're living according to his word and according to his instruction, because sometimes I read the Bible and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And the Lord will say, this is what I specifically need you to do right now. And I appreciate that. And that's funny because I learned that about myself watching my son. My oldest boy is very literal. You have to say, sons, stack the pillows like this, pull the sheet like that. You literally have to give him specific instructions. And what I realized as the Lord was doing it to me is that I'm the same way. I don't like hints and clues. I'm not good at it. Tell me what's happening. Black and white. So I know. If this is the assignment, tell me what I need to do. Question 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So I receive that instruction on a regular basis in all different aspects of my life, whether it's what I eat, how I exercise, what I wear. I know some of y'all is looking at me like, that boy got up there at church, got the devil on his shirt. It's not the devil. It is a thermal image of a rhinoceros. Okay? Because I know y'all. Y'all crazy as I am. But right living, pay attention now, y'all. You're losing focus. But right living can save you from death. It's just that simple. Can't get no plainer than that. The right living is what we get from the Lord when we relate with him. All right? Verse 5 says, the godly are directed by honesty. It's interesting how it keeps going back to this honesty, because apparently some of us got problems with the truth. And it says, the wicked fall beneath their load of sin. So consider this. And I know I talk about friend of the court. I know I talk about relationships with women. Honestly, that was my biggest problem. One of them. But I would say that's the biggest for John. Again, I don't like the transparency of this preaching thing. But the godly are directed by honesty. I can't count how many times my life or my situation down the road would have been totally different had I just engaged in being directed by honesty. Telling the truth. I shouldn't have told old girl that, you know, you all right with me. I shouldn't have said that. Because it says the godly are directed. I've been saved since I was 10. That means the Holy Spirit set up shop in 1987 for John. For some of us, it's been longer. Some of us, not so long. And it's okay. But the fact of the matter remains is that makes John godly. Because he resides in me. That's why I can hear his voice and respond sometimes. Because when I'm in my feelings and in my own thoughts, being eisegetical, I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounds nice. Then I get off into what John wants to do. And I get away from the godly purpose and design. That's why I tell my sons, be great. You're already great. God designed you to be great. God didn't design you to be messed, because you're not. He made you his image. God is great. Yeah, that little prayer that we used to say before breakfast when we was kids. God is great. God is good. His word says so. And not just his word, his activity in my life said that he's good and he's great. So the least that I can do is be directed by honesty. To be a truth teller, not a liar. Because I could put some words together and talk to you about some stuff. That's what John could do. But because of God's presence inside of me, I am godly and I need to be directed by honesty. And as I get older, my filter is getting lower and lower, which I tell more truth, whether it's brutal or not, but it feels great to tell the truth. When you lie, you gotta, you know, I ain't got time for that. And the truth of the matter is, I can't remember no lie. So, the godly are directed by honesty. This is the hard part, though. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin. Now, we see wicked, and we go to pointing fingers. Them over there. Them mugs from Delray or the Hole. They wicked. 8th Street, they wicked. East St. Louis, they wicked. The south side of Chicago, they wicked. Nah, when we step outside of God's will and our godliness, we choose wickedness. And you know what happens when you choose wickedness? I didn't make this up. They fall beneath their load of sin. Not somebody else's. Your own. We blame the devil for a lot. By him only being in one place at one time. We even blame demons and other people. But you know who John's worst enemy is? John. Some of the things that I can come up with in here and in here, I carry out. And then I have to do the 1 John 1:9. You know, we had pastor every week say that because he be bold too. So yeah, we all bold. We all need 1 John 1:9. And it's not cliche. We do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why Janice shouldn't have to solicit praise on Sunday morning. Because if you think about how he kept you just from Saturday night. Yeah. Or just your whole life. Because before 10, the Lord looked after me. Yeah. I knew better. There's so many preachers in my family, I lost count. Right. And we actually came up reading the word and knowing what it meant to a certain degree. But he looked after me and he kept me, but we fall beneath the load of our sin because of wickedness. When we decide that we're going to step from up under that godly umbrella, we choose wickedness. So you need not point the finger at anybody else. You need to understand that it says the wicked fall beneath their load of sin. We all got our loads. Thank you. But I'm here to tell you that the removal of that load is when you hand it over to Christ. See, we have that privilege to run to the altar, to the throne of grace, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But that's because we're saved. John is saved. Everybody in here needs to be able to account for their salvation. And if you're not sure about that, you need to understand Jesus died and he rose from the grave for all sins, period. I know if my heart stopped right now, I'm in glory with the Lord. My elder brother who went to the cross in my place, not his. So if you're not saved, the first thing you got to do is believe that Jesus lived and he died and he rose for you. And there may be someone on Blog Talk, there may be someone in here. I don't want to go over my time because I don't want to get my throat cut. But if you're not sure about your salvation, see me in the back. And we'll get that thing done today, right now. Time ain't long. We watch people leave here every day. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. I thank you for pushing me into my obedience and helping me to grab your hand and walk through this. I wanted to stay at home, go to sleep. But you helped me to get here, and you used me as a vessel, and I'm thankful. Pray, Lord, that each and every one of us in here will handle your word accordingly as we go out from this place, because we have a job to do. And we've been lacking as the church, the body of Christ. But it's time, more now than ever, for us to get out and tell people about what our big brother did for us and is continuing to do for us.
Yes.
We say thank you, wonderful Father, excellent big brother Jesus, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Received today, and we thank God for those he has chosen to deliver his word to us. And so at this time, we're going to take up a love offering for our preacher today.
So I thought I wasn't going to have to do all this, but my partner don't return the next week. Yeah, thank you. Alrighty. So first, to my Running for Christ family, thank you so much to each and every one of you for the thoughts, prayers, and condolences and love during this time of grief. Your support has meant so much to us, and we thank God for you all. Our words simply can't express our gratitude. Love always, Mike, Crystal, Amir, and family. Okay. Back table, Bible questions are on the back table for this week, and it's going to be Psalms 81, 85. Who's the teacher? Crystal's the teacher. All righty. So make sure you grab that, and that's Wednesday. Y'all didn't hear that, but we'll be here Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Chad, I'm gonna read that flyer you sent me. But before I do that, also just a reminder, as Jonathan, he's Pastor Books, Jonathan Books. Make sure Janice Ministry. Girls always need something, and we don't want to have to wait to the last minute to make sure they get it. You know, where we can be prepared for them. And then Janice, you know how you do about the daycare, your goal too. She'll speak on that. I think that's that. And then I wanted to talk about, because it's coming down to the deadline for the free legal counsel sessions. You have to pre-register. You have to go to Michigan Works and register for this. And I didn't realize it because I didn't need it, but I was just scrolling down. But it was saying, as of February 19th, 2022, new legislation allows first-time drunk drivers' convictions can be expunged from your criminal records. So, once again, you have to go on to them, and you have to pre-register. You can't walk into Wayne County thinking that you got your appointment. They're going to be there from 9 to 3, and they say no matter where these instances happen, this is just one part of it. This is DUIs. They're helping you with everything. If you have records, if you know someone, get this word out. There's a section on there when you're going through the registration. If you're a Detroit resident, there is a separate form that you have to fill out. But go out there. These have been popping up. We don't know how much longer it's going to be. So this is going to be, you know, popping up. I mean, popping up for how long, we don't know. But the help is out there. Also, I want to make sure that Mackie lost his grandmother. So make sure we pray for that family and support Mackie and whatever he needs, him and the family. So make sure you speak to Mackie today before you leave out. Okay, hold on. This is going to be a Jonathan. It's the phone today. So also, I talked to Pastor this morning. We're going to create a separate page. He's making me come up with a name. I can come up with a name. But we're going to create a separate page for companies that hire, well, we might as well, felony, you know, felons and things. Because I don't want it to get mixed in with the other page. I want them to know. These are companies that can support you. So we're going to do a separate page. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan been on. He's been sending me all these different jobs and programs. And there's a lot of jobs out there that's felon friendly. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, so let me go back. Let me go back to Kat. Sent me the thing. So Kat sent me something. And I'm, this is going to get sit on, be on the page. Skills for Life is hiring. And they're going to have a virtual event from February 10th and then February 24th from 10 to noon and February 17th and March 2nd from 1 to 3. These are Zoom sessions, and you can go out there. They're three days and you're in class for 2 days. So if you, and you get paid $15 an hour while you're doing this program. So this is a good post it. I'll send it over to Pastor today. And he'll be posting it on the website. Okay, let me go back to the job page, because there's a lot of jobs out here. So I'm not going to mention all of them because they're going to be on the page. So once again, I had mentioned this before. The Big Three is hiring. I was in the credit union, and the guy was saying he worked at Ford, and they had people walking in at the Ford plant over here in Dearborn, and they was hiring them on the spot. Because one thing, and we have to realize, when you're working for the Big Three, what they're looking for is the people that can be on time. If you can't be on time, like Pastor say, when we in the world, we should be representing our father and our elder brother. We need to be on time for these jobs. And they're not playing, so you need to be on time. All three are hiring. And these are the Big Three, and these are companies which we don't know. like, they still got unions. They, it's better than nothing, because when you work for a company and it's at will, when you walk in, they can at will you right out the door. You ain't no union, nobody to help protect you. So all three are hiring. That's going to be on the site. Let's see. Also, the Detroit Tigers, they're gearing up for their, they're looking for people. First Staffing Solutions, they're looking for people. The, if Capitol Police is looking, they're coming all the way down to Michigan. They posted it on our site. They're looking to hire people. Smart is still hiring people. And if you sign up for Michigan Works and you have to go on Michigan Works, they are doing appointments only. You have to make an appointment, and you have to wear a mask when you're in their facility. Let's see. Oh, it says on here, the Michigan Secretary of State office is not hiring. Submit one application for 13 Secretary of State positions in Detroit and surrounding areas. Also, I will list back out there that job for DTE, the at home, the 100% work from home position, they're still hiring. DTE is still another company, and they still union. And then also my company, AAA, is hiring. We're not union, but we have a lot of remote positions and things. So everything will get posted and updated. And I think that's everything I'm supposed to hit. All right, that's it. Chris will be up next week. I got you. Yeah.
As we are preparing to go, remembering your prayers, as already mentioned, those that are bereaved, those that are still going through. And Mother Irma, I believe, is in the hospital right now. Mother Marilyn called me yesterday and told me that she had went and she was waiting to be admitted. So pray for her. Mother Marilyn, of course, who's not with us. Mother Cheryl and Tyrone, Mother Persia. Keep our mothers in prayer, y'all. We need them. Pray for one another. Pray for our schools that are back open after a brief interlude. Please pray for y'all. Okay, I'm just going to be real. It's demonic, the attacks that are going against school systems. I saw in Indiana they wanted teachers to submit a lesson plan for a year. And the one man said, I haven't even done mine for last week. What are you talking about? Period. I understand. My heart goes out. They're trying. This is public education they're destroying. They're not doing this in the private sector. They're only doing it to public education, where most of our children are at. Start speaking up. Start talking to your Father in heaven about this situation. It is straight from hell. So help, please, and pray for your teachers, because these folks, it's easy. They'd rather go work at Ford and Chrysler and GM. Stop. I'm going to lay hands on you, Alice, back there. Anyway, so with that, remember Micaiah, Jalen, Alana, and every other child that's in college, DeAndre in class. Remember our college students. Keep them in your prayers. Lots to pray for. Your prayers should not be empty and hollow. You should be very active in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And as she was saying, we're preparing. I'm going to meet with my board. The band is back together. And we're going to meet this month, and we're going to formulate the plan for daycare. But if you want to give, you can give now, because we still have three young ladies and an older woman who are in school. And even though they're out during the month of February, they go back in March. So they need their funds, their fees to be paid. They want to go to school already paid for, not just paying as we go. So you can give to the website. You can contact me, give personally. I prefer if you do it through the website if you can, because that's less paperwork for.
Oh, I was just going to ask a question, because I'm a little on the younger side, so I don't keep cash on me all the time. I have a cash app, and I really want to do my time, so I was wondering, like, how would I do about it?
Okay. There you go. Oh, look at God. Look at God. They answered her. PayPal. The finance committee answered it. PayPal. He caught the late. All right. So we got that. See, it's always good to be here. Amen. Jedediah's. Well, I was trying to get rid of the song and I couldn't because I said, oh, it is Black History Month. So as we're standing to our feet, we need each other. Y'all know y'all need to lay hands on Danielle and pray for her, you know, for her strength. We need each other. We joke, we laugh because we love each other. We need each other, y'all. We need to work with each other and stop working against each other. We're a family. We're the kingdom. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
With words from my mouth, I love you, I need you.
Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Let us all say amen.
Amen. And visitors, thank you for joining us today. You have been noticed, truly. So if you see somebody you don't know, stop and say hi.